Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief show on CBS Sports Radio. If you haven't guessed it by now, yeah, I'm JR. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to be here with you for one more hour. It's a four-hour show. I get started here every weeknight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. I'm joined by super producer and host Dave Shepard. He's holding it down in New York City. And in New York City, or across the river from New York City, it was a destruction. The New York Giants lose to Seattle. The final score, 24-3. Seattle goes to 3-1. The New York Giants fall to 1-3. And Daniel Jones was sacked 10 times. We're going to talk about that game momentarily. Thank you to everybody listening all over the country. You could be in New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia, or you could be in California. Or you could be in Hawaii, Texas. You could be here in Georgia with me, Alabama, Florida, Minneapolis. What's up, Canada? Or you could be in Europe. You can listen on SiriusXM channel 158. You can listen on a smart speaker, the free Odyssey app, and your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate. And so if you've been listening to Monday Night Football and now you're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show, I have nothing to say but thank you. Week four of the NFL season is a wrap. Started off with some blowouts. Had a good game, I would say. Maybe not for a Dolphins fan, but we saw a good game, I'd say, between the Bills beating them 48-20. The Cowboys smashed the Pats. Sunday Night Football. The Jets actually made that a good game. That's a real good game. It looked like Zach Wilson was going to go into the toilet. And then we know he fumbled the ball at the end. So, hey, you got to win some and lose some when it comes to Zach Wilson. And then tonight, also in New York. Last night, the Jets had the home game. Tonight, the Giants. And it was just ugly. Okay? Ugly. Daniel Jones sacked 10 times. The Seattle Seahawks, 11 sacks total as a team. The Seahawks had four players who had two sacks. And so there were turnovers. There were sacks. There were forced fumbles. This was a nightmare scenario for the New York Giants and Daniel Jones. And it's not all Daniel Jones' fault, despite what he will tell you. There was no Saquon Barkley still dealing with that high ankle sprain. The offensive line, missing Andrew Thomas. It's a makeshift offensive line. And so Seattle, they feasted. Out of the gate, took them no time. I mean, to start the game off, it just appeared that this was going to be a long day for the Giants, and it was. Seattle going up early. DK Metcalf connecting for six with Geno Smith. I want you to take a listen. This was the first score of the game. This is courtesy of the Seahawks Radio Network.
Awaiting the snap, Geno takes it. Steps up in the pocket, scrambles away to his right side. Looking to the end zone, fires a dart. In the back
of the end zone. DK, does he have his feet? And he does. Touchdown, Seahawks. DK Metcalf with the rope-a-dope in the back of the end zone. Hands down by his sides. Geno fires a bullet. And Metcalf reacts, makes the catch, feet in, 6 points Seahawks.
Geno Smith had to go out the game for a bit. Got tackled, kind of dragged down, not necessarily a horse collar, but pretty much the same type of thing. Legs dragged underneath him. And so we saw Drew Lock to end the second half. And he was able to hand the ball off to Kenneth Walker for a one-yard rush. This put the Seahawks up 14-3 in the second. Listen to this.
Ken Walker the third, the single setback. Bobo is slotted inside of Metcalf to the left. Will Disley, the tight end, on the right. Motion is Bobo. Hand off to Walker inside. He is in! Touchdown, Seahawks!
And this is where things got good. Or bad, if you're a New York Giants fan. They're in the third quarter. The New York Giants are staring right in front of their end zone. They have a chance and an opportunity to make it a 14-10 game. Except for Daniel Jones threw the ball to the wrong guy. Take a listen to this.
Seattle looks like they want to rush four. And they do. Jones is going to throw. Throws near side. Ball picked up. Witherspoon comes near side. Down the sidelines. Jones chasing him. He cuts back inside. Picks up blockers. Still being chased. Witherspoon far side. 20, 15, 10, 5. He is in. Holy catfish. Witherspoon went a mile and a half with the interception for a touchdown. Jones looks left. Witherspoon dinks him into throwing. And then picks it off and goes from about the 3-yard line, the length of the field. Are you kidding me? 97 yards. Witherspoon, unbelievable.
Yep. So instead of the game being 14-10, Seattle now led 21-3. And it didn't stop there for the New York Giants. Daniel Jones, who was already slapped around, if you thought that they had any chance left, this is the one that sent the fans home. It was another Daniel Jones interception as he was pressured up the middle. This is from the Giants radio network.
Second and 10 from the 44. Jones drops back again. Steps up. Fires it high over the middle and intercepted.
Yep.
Diggs with the pick. Diggs makes a man miss. Diggs to the near sideline, across midfield, and tackled at the Giant 44.
Hey, Shep, am I piling on if we take a listen to Daniel Jones getting sacked?
If you get sacked 10 times, there's no such thing as piling on, JR.
So let's hear the 10th sack.
Here's Jones from the shotgun, has a slot to his right side. Here comes the blitz again. Jones steps up. Jones goes down. Ball is out. Jones goes down again. The Giants recover. That ties the record at 11 sacks. No, yes. The record for the Seahawks, 11 sacks. It ties that record now. Wait till we see who gets credit for it. Might be Chinna Nwosu. Jones is going to be seeing white jerseys in his nightmares tonight.
Yeah, and now Daniel Jones has a 1-12 record in primetime games. The New York Giants now have a record of 1-3. They're going to take on the Miami Dolphins and then the Buffalo Bills in primetime next. Seattle improves to 3-1. They have the Cincinnati Bengals coming up next after a bye. Yes, it's rather early for a bye week, but Seattle has it, given all the travel that they have to go through. This is what Daniel Jones had to say after the game about that pick six.
Poor decision. I just thought it was soft, trying to find someone in the zone, and poor decision on that. Can't afford to make that mistake.
Evan Neal, offensive lineman for the New York Giants. This man spoke after the game as well, and he didn't blame Daniel Jones. He blamed himself and the rest of his teammates on the line.
I mean, we take responsibility for those 11 sacks. I mean, we just have to play better. There's no excuse for it. But we come into work every day. We work hard. We put our best foot forward. And right now, we're just not playing our best ball.
Head coach of the New York Giants, Brian Daboll, when Daniel Jones threw that interception, that pick six, he was all up in his grill. He threw a tablet onto the bench. Brian Daboll was ticked off. And he says, yeah, tonight, he says, we sucked.
Probably a little bit of everything, you know. Had some longer routes at times. Got beat at times, reads at times, calls at times, I'd say, kind of collection of everything. Yeah, I'd be upset too if I was a fan. So there's a lot of things we got to do better, and that's what we'll try to do.
Well, that was a much nicer, kinder, gentler version of Brian Daboll after the game, at least publicly with the media. Let's hear from someone who was actually kind and happy and thrilled with the win. It's Pete Carroll. Let's listen to somebody happy for once.
Oh, we had so much fun tonight. Golly, that was fun playing football. One of the first things that comes to my attention is the guys that continue to step up and play for other guys.
Yeah, good for them. And I hate to call it a side note, but Jamal Adams returned tonight following his leg injury from last year with that busted up quad. He returned pretty much to for an open series, had a great tackle, and then he attempted to tackle Daniel Jones at one point. He tried to tackle him low. Daniel Jones accidentally hit him in the head with his knee, and he was removed from the game. And so, unfortunately, a start and a finish and then an exit for Jamal Adams and trying to return. A matter of fact, Pete Carroll talked about Jamal Adams and his injury. This wasn't so happy. This is what Pete Carroll had to say. There's some positivity there. Listen.
He's going to be okay. You know, he got kicked in the head, and so he misses this game. But the preparation to get him to this, and then with the week coming off, he's going to be fine, I'm sure, and he'll be back out there. So it's just a little glitch right now.
Just a little glitch. This wasn't an offensive game for Seattle. This wasn't an offensive beatdown. The defense destroyed them. Most sacks in a game in Seahawks history. Tied for 11 sacks. This is the first time the Seahawks had 11 sacks since 1986 against the Raiders. 855-212-4CBS. This is just bad all the way around for the New York Giants. New York City football stinks right now to the high heavens. Let's go ahead and pick up the phone lines. Trevor is calling from Jacksonville. You're on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Trevor.
Hey, how you doing, JR?
Good. What's up?
Yeah, I looked at a lot of the game tonight while I was at work, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, this is horrible. This is horrible. Y'all paid Daniel Jones all this money, and y'all ain't got no way to really protect him. And it's just like, oh, my gosh, what's going on in New York? But at the end of the day, I think all will be well going down the line for the New York Giants. It's gonna be a tough season for them, but for the most part, I think they probably end up getting it together. But at this rate, if they don't get that offensive line together and get them boys' head in the game, it's just not gonna work. But on another note, I am in Jacksonville. I'm a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, and I don't hear a lot about what going on in London for the week. Jaguars versus the Bills. I'm pretty sure Vegas got part of the Bills killing the Jaguars in London. But then again, I think Jacksonville got a good defense that probably end up surprising Josh Allen. We did it a few years ago when he got in the league, and I think we're going to end up doing it again. So I'm definitely going for Jacksonville in London this weekend. And we got kind of some of the same problems they got in New York with our offensive line, so hopefully we can get past that. But other than that, you know, go Jacksonville Jaguars and London. Hopefully they can come back to Indianapolis and get that dub. And, hey, I love your show, JR, and I'm out.
All right. Thank you, Trevor, for calling from Jacksonville. Yeah, the Jags, we know if you got up early, you saw them beat the Atlanta Falcons 23-7 out in London. They're going to stay in London, as he mentioned. They have the Buffalo Bills coming up next. Buffalo will be heading out. If you want to go ahead and give Jacksonville the edge for being acclimated to being overseas, then you could certainly do so. I think we all know when it comes down to straight football that you would probably go ahead and give it to the Buffalo Bills. But this is not going to be your prototypical NFL week. This is heading out overseas. You go, you show up, you play the game, you leave, you turn around. And Jacksonville ain't coming back. They ain't coming back stateside and then running back the other way. That's a little too much. And oh, yeah, by the way, you want to talk about the defense. Yeah, the defense has been solid, all things considered. I mean, on Sunday, they beat the Falcons. Let's be real here. The Falcons is a team trying to figure out what the hell they're doing with their quarterback. You got Ritter. You got Mac Hollins, who's frustrated. Not the most difficult of offenses to go out there and try to stymie. 855-212-4CBS. D, calling from Maryland. You're on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, D, you're live on the radio. D is no longer on the radio. Ace is calling from Chicago. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead, Ace.
What's up, JR?
How are you?
I'm good, brother. I listen to a lot of sports radio, a lot of sports media, man. I'm really trying to figure out who you remind me of, and I can't come up with not one person. Keep on blazing your own trail, brother.
Well, thanks, man. All I can be is me, just like everybody else. What's up?
That's beautiful, man. I wanted to remind you that our Chicago Bears have our pick, and we will have Carolina's pick in the next draft. So we can have one and two picks, and I can just only hope they don't blow it and how it's all the way things are going. I don't know.
That's a good point. Thank you for bringing that back up to the forefront. And so out in Chicago, what is the hope that just let Justin walk and take Caleb? Like, what are you thinking?
Man, we thinking Caleb going to duck back in and say, well, I ain't trying to go to Chicago. People go there. People go to Chicago. Receivers and quarterbacks go there to die. He may not want to come here and be bothered with this, man.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, you send in Chase Claypool home, and he's running his mouth about not being appreciated or being utilized properly. It's a tough thing, man.
It's a mess. They fired the defensive coordinator or he resigned. No one in Chicago media know what happened with that situation. It's a whole mess, man. The coach is a defensive coordinator, defensive-minded coach. We've given up 25 points or more in the last, I think. You can tell me, man, it's a mess here, bro.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Eberflus is running the show, and Justin Fields is pointing figures, and the defensive coordinator is allegedly FBI raids. Allegedly, it's the season can't end soon enough. I don't know what team is having the worst season. Like, is it the Bears? Is it the Jets? Is it the Giants?
I've never in the history of my life, JR. I think I was 15 and 16 when the Bears won the Super Bowl. I've never seen the Chicago Bears this bad. The organization, it's bad, JR. It's bad, and I'm out.
All right. Well, thank you, Ace, for calling from Chicago. I'll tell you this much. You have Poles who is going to start putting his own imprint onto the team. And I can't see a scenario unless Justin Fields just continues to wow. All things considered, he had a good game yesterday against the Broncos defense, which is one of the worst. Unless he continues to do that, I don't see a scenario where they pick up his fifth-year option. Rick is here from Michigan. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, man, JR, what's up, homie? What's up with it?
How are you? What's on?
I'm doing all right. Well, okay. I'm just curious what I know you're not a psychic, but what is going on with Jimmy Buckets and that new hairdo? That hairdo is silly, ridiculous, and trifling looking.
Oh, man. Jimmy Butler isn't free to do with his hair what he wants?
Oh, I know I'm not being a total hater, but he said that he's in an emotional right now. And that haircut don't even look good on white boys. And a black guy can't even pull it off. And black guys got style and look good at almost anything. But he's just looking depressed and sad. So,
well, that's what he was going for. He's emo. He's taking us back. What's emo? 20, 25 years?
Yeah, just trying to be emotional.
Yeah, he got the eye. What do you call it? A piercing in his eye. He got piercings in his lips. Jimmy Butler, if anyone isn't familiar, and thank you, Rick, for calling from Michigan, he's an eclectic dude. He is. He marches to the beat of his own drum. He does what he feels. We know he plays basketball hard as hell. It'd be another thing, and he will not do it, that hair wouldn't last. If he went and played basketball with his hair, and if you haven't seen Jimmy Butler today or Monday was NBA Media Day, everybody's taking photos and headshots and everything, what have you. And last year, he showed up with his hair in locks. This year, he showed up with his hair straightened. He looks like, I don't know, Barbie? I can't even call it. But he has this long part in his head, and his hair is straight. Yes, Jimmy Butler straightened his hair. I guess it's shoulder length. And he looks like he's going through a midlife crisis. He looks like a teenager that you'd find in Hot Topic. I mean, that's Hot Topic 20 years ago. Hot Topic. Hey, Shep, did Hot Topic exist 20 years ago?
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't know.
I don't know what Hot Topic is.
Oh, okay. You're not missing anything.
Okay, good.
Not missing anything. But Jimmy Butler looks like he's going through a midlife crisis. But anyway, when it's time to play basketball, that man's hair will probably be braided, probably be out there in a headband, busting ass. But if anybody ever played in the NBA and looked like Jimmy Butler and was giving you buckets, you might have to retire. You might have to. Jimmy Butler looks nuts. If you haven't seen it, it's on my Twitter. It's on my Facebook, at JR Sport Brief. Jimmy Butler looks crazy. His own teammates were out there laughing at him. And he's a character, man. But he can get away with it because he balls out of control. Plays harder than just about anybody. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Giants bad. Jets bad. At least the Bills are repping for New York. I'm going to get some more of your calls on the other side here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
The only reason I call, you made me laugh my ass off. I nearly collapsed on the floor with laughter when I turned you on. The first thing you said, and I think you should start writing some of this down and compile it into a book.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You know, a caller hit us up before the break and asked about Jimmy Butler. And I'm just like, hey, he looked crazy today with his new emo haircut that he took for Media Day. He probably already has his hair back in braids right now. And on the basketball side, we heard from a lot of the stars today. LeBron James dedicating the season to his son Bronny as he enters year number 21. LeBron saying that this is now Anthony Davis's team. And then we heard from some of the guys who've been traded, like Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard arrived at Bucks Media Day and showed love to everybody with his new team. Jimmy Butler, Mr. Haircut, he talked about the fact that, you know, Damian Lillard is not in Miami, but he's in Milwaukee. A matter of fact, Jimmy Butler said he's happy for everybody in Milwaukee, including Damian Lillard, but he's still going to beat him. Listen to this.
I am happy for Dame to be somewhere where, you know, he's wanted, where he has a chance to win a championship. I'm also happy for Adrian Griffin because, you know, to be a first-year head coach and have some guys like you have, good for you. But, you know, I'm still going to be me. I'm going to go beat Dame, Giannis, and Adrian Griffin. On our way to a title, like I've said, every single year. And I mean it this year like I've meant it every other year.
All right, but there comes a point in time where you can say it. I mean, he said he was going to win a championship last season. That didn't work out. It's all good for talking. But unless he gets himself some more teammates, it's going to be tough in the East. Jrue Holiday and Boston with Porzingis and Brown and Tatum. Obviously, Lillard with Giannis Antetokounmpo and Brook Lopez. It's looking crazy out there right now. Good luck to Jimmy Butler. Also, hey, good luck to the rest of the world. I know the United States of America, the basketball team, didn't fare well in FIBA. They did not go out there and medal out in the Philippines. But we've already gotten some commitments. You got Steph Curry saying that he's going to play for Team USA. And, I mean, even Kevin Durant, short, sweet, to the point. He was asked about playing in the Olympics next summer. And listen to this.
The Olympics next summer, would you be interested in being on the U.S. team if they ask you?
I will play in the Olympics next year.
Done. Simple as that. Let's get a United States of America versus Canada final. I'd sign up for that. 855-212-4CBS. Tony calling from Maryland. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, JR. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you? What's up?
Hey, I just got a few things about the Giants, JR. Then I'm going to hang up, and I'm going to just give me some feedback if you can. First, they looked horrible last night. Danny Dimes is not good. Special teams, oh, my God. And then as far as Wink, defense, he looked totally flabbergasted last night. But they're not a good team, JR, and something got to be done. Thank you, JR.
All right. Thank you, Tony. It's called players, man. That's what they need. The New York Giants need players. They need healthy players. Look, Daniel Jones is not bad. He is just not your typical stand back there and just throw the rock QB. Like, he needs the offensive line. He's a hybrid. I don't want to call him a halfback. He certainly isn't Taysom Hill. He's just different. Like, he's a combo. What we saw last year was the best version of Daniel Jones. And what you had hoped to see was that he would be able to develop more of a rapport with his wide receivers. But the guy doesn't even have time to go out there and throw the ball. And you most certainly got to believe after getting sacked 10 times, he's shell-shocked. And I can't knock him. It's the team around him. I'm not mad that he's making $40 million. I'm not mad that the New York Giants paid him. I am mad at what he has around him. And that's no protection. And that ain't helping. 855-212-4CBS. Matt is calling from Illinois. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Matt?
Hey, JR. Appreciate you getting me in, man.
No doubt.
So I'm a Jags fan, but I want to touch on two other teams real quick. The Giants were good last year. They had a good O-line. So that's my first point. Wondering what you think, what's going on with their O-line this year compared to last year. Second thing, I think Fields is still a quarterback. He's got bad coaching. Go ahead.
To answer your first question, it's a matter of injuries, man. They're makeshift right now on the offensive line. And the New York Giants, them going into the postseason last year, it's almost a gift, man. They played so many close games with a rookie head coach. Nobody expected that. And so they rolled the magic carpet into the postseason last year. And they weren't going to win nothing, but now they're smacked with reality.
I gotcha. Now, I said, I think Fields is still a good quarterback, but Chicago hasn't had coaching in forever, and Fields is just a victim of bad coaching, bad organization. I think he goes somewhere else. Like, I'm surprised the Jets didn't trade for him. He could be good if he had some decent coaching.
It's tough to trade for him. They got another guy out of the same draft who's also on a rookie deal, and they selected him number two. And that's Zach Wilson. So unless they were going to try to trade one headache guy for another, and that wasn't going to work. And at least yesterday, Zach Wilson didn't start off looking good. All things considered, he had a good game. And the same thing for Justin Fields, outside of, losing a ball at the end of the game yesterday. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's a poor storm, or the worst perfect storm for both of these QBs. These are organizations that unfortunately have not developed QBs, and that's why you got somebody like Caleb Williams. His dad is telling everybody, hey, look, just because a team is selected number one, ain't no guarantee that we're going to stick around in the draft to be selected, man. So it's a hard knock life for some teams. The Jets, the Giants, they can't get out of their own way when it comes to the QBs, man.
That's true. Now, as a Jags fan, I'm surprised they're doing as well as they are, considering all the first-round picks that they've either had that were good, that traded away or let go, or the ones they busted on. And I was really upset when they got Walker out of Florida, or it was Florida instead of Hutchinson. Mm-hmm. So Hutchinson's been doing in Detroit. So what do you think is the key to their success as far as why they're doing better?
The Jags? You think the Jags are doing better?
Well, yeah, compared to what they started with Lawrence's rookie year, and then, of course, they switched coaches. Oh, they got a decent coach now.
I'm thinking about this season specifically. I would say I know they won their last game against the Falcons out in London. I'm actually been disappointed. I feel like their defense has kept them alive. I don't know what the slowdown is with the Jags, but certainly they do have an adult as the head coach right now in Doug Peterson. And so I think that puts them in a decent spot. And I also think that the owner, Khan, he had to get his feet wet. I mean, he was so concerned, I feel like anybody should, with making money and going splashy in the Urban Meyers. Like, great organizations, and I don't care what the sport is, and thank you, Matt, for calling from Illinois. Like, you need to have some steady ground. That's it. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. Don't try to just come out of the world with the big splash. I mean, the New York Mets, I mean, as much money as Steve Cohen now has, he tried to make a big splash and be competitive and still rebuild. He wasn't able to do all of it at one time. And so now he's bringing in a new GM, or excuse me, a new president over the GM. He's getting rid of Buck Showalter. By the way, sorry Yankee fans, it's been reported that Aaron Boone is likely going to return for next season. And so it's all about stability. So if you're asking me about the Jags, the good thing is Shad Khan, it looks like he's finally out the way, and he's not going for the big splash. Maybe the Raiders may be too late right now. Maybe they've learned that as well. 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to get some more of your calls before we have to roll out.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
If you end up in Oregon, I'll lift me up. I'll try to connect. I got to buy you a beer, man. You keep my nights going on the weeknights.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
I know someone who's not in Oregon. That's Damian Lillard. Made his debut today for the Milwaukee Bucks Media Day. Standing there taking photos. At one point, Damian Lillard looked to his left and his right, and there's Brooke Lopez and Chris Middleton and Giannis, and he's like, damn, I never took a photo like this. And so one of the first things that Damian Lillard said is, man, just thank you to everybody. Listen to Damian Lillard from Bucks Media Day.
First of all, I want to thank Wes, thank John, Milt, Griff. You know, I appreciate you guys making this happen. Obviously, I've spent my entire career in Portland, 11 years, long time. So I'm extremely thankful for that organization, that city, the fans, for giving me the kind of experience that I had. And, I don't think it's a secret how much I want to win. And that's how we got here today. And I think they want to win equally as bad as I do. And, I couldn't be more excited. I couldn't be more thankful for this opportunity to be a part of this organization, to play alongside the best player in the league. It's going to be fun. And the hospitality that they showed my family, we touched down to a parade, my first time getting traded. So you don't know what to expect.
Yeah. If they're healthy, I can expect a run to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics. That's what I expect. I don't care what Jimmy Butler's talking about down in Miami, but the fact of the matter is we got a lot of basketball. We got a lot of calendar between now and the trade deadline in February. And so let's just see how things bear out between now and then. And then injuries always, always play a role. 855-212-4CBS. Speaking of injuries playing a role, LeBron James entering into his 21st season said that he is not certain or sure on when he's going to retire and hang it up. Said he is dedicating the season to his son Bronny, who we know is dealing with that heart issue. And then he also said that the Lakers, the team belongs to Anthony Davis. Yeah. Yeah, let's see if Anthony Davis can stay healthy. 855-212-4CBS. We got Tom calling from PA. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, JR, great show, man. You rock. Thanks for taking my call. Just a couple things real quick. I wasn't able to watch the game tonight, but I did listen to it on the radio as I was traveling. And I kept hearing Kurt Warner say Jones has got to throw the ball down the field. I don't know what his longest pass was tonight. Can you tell me that?
Off the top of my head, I don't know what the longest pass was. Let's see. 22 yards.
That's pathetic. So, but one more thing.
Here's the deal. He didn't have time to throw the ball. Like, they were in his face all game long. And I don't know at what point Kurt Warner said that, because obviously I didn't hear Kurt Warner. I'm here on the air. But this, he was, they were up in his grill all game long.
That's what I heard on the radio. No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
One more thing. Where do you think, where do you think Barkley's going to land after his contract?
Saquon?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. It's tough going. That's impossible for me to speculate on. The reality is the New York Giants may decide to tag him again. So I don't know where he's going to go. That's a lot of forward thinking, man.
Yeah, okay, I agree.
Because at the same time, what team is paying running backs, you know? Who's going to pay him?
I know. That's an issue. One more thing. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I said yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I might understand you're a native New Yorker.
Yes, I am, from the Bronx, New York. Yes, uptown Harlem in the Bronx.
I'm born and raised in Yonkers myself.
Okay. Mr. Midland Avenue. Yes, very familiar.
Yep. Well, I'm Giants football, Phillies baseball, so at least I got the Phillies to look forward to. So.
Hey, good luck with them, man. You're the first person to bring up baseball tonight. How about that?
All right.
Thank you, Tom. You be well.
Your show rocks. Thank you.
Thank you. Trying to be cool like you. Thank you, Tom, from PA. Yeah, folks, if you didn't, the baseball season is over. Shep, did you know baseball was done with?
Yeah, and Joey Votto's season was even, more quickly done than most.
Oh, well, he's doing cartoon voices for SpongeBob right now.
I mean, how are you going to get ejected in your potential last career game, Joey Votto? Like, what is he thinking, JR? We're saying goodbye to legends, man.
Joey Votto's he's a cool dude. He has gone out and he has been open and friendly with fans.
Right.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
It's going to be a special Hall of Fame class, JR. Joey Votto, Miguel Cabrera, Adam Wainwright, who I think got a puppy, and then the last guy that no one ever talks about because of his very unique personality is Zach Greinke.
Zach Greinke won't even show up. Can we look at the playoffs first before we think about guys going into the Hall of Fame years from now?
Well, the only reason I bring that up is because I don't remember a star-studded retirement farewell for so many great guys in one season.
Star-studded?
These are four first ballot Hall of Famers. I can't remember a time where we saw this.
Zach Greinke might be one of the best pitchers over the past 15 plus years. Man, ain't nobody thinking about him.
If Mike Mussina gets into the Hall of Fame, Zach Greinke is getting in first ballot.
Mike, I'm not arguing that.
Right.
But what I consider to be a star, Zach Greinke don't even want to talk to nobody, okay?
Well, okay, so he's the Marshawn Lynch of Major League Baseball. Can't blame him
for that. No, Marshawn Lynch is entertaining. Marshawn Lynch will talk. He just chooses not to.
Okay, that's fair.
Zach Greinke is about as entertaining as paint, okay?
Okay.
Otherwise, baseball would have been able to help sell him, but the guy unfortunately has, anxiety disorder or what may happen?
Yeah, I'd rather hear from him than Curt Schilling, I'll say that much.
Yeah, well, that guy is – I wish he had the personality of paint, but he's still
that's
here.
That's a good point.
855-212-4CBS. Bill is calling from Georgia. What's up, Bill?
Hello?
Hey, Bill, you're live on the radio, and I hear myself.
All right, let me cut you down, pimp.
Oh, hello? Call me a pimp. Yeah, go ahead, Bill. Thank you.
Hey, man, appreciate y'all taking my call, man. I got two things I want to say real quick because I know you ain't got that long. First off, I want to tell you that Jimmy Butler, his look is Ike Turner.
Oh, my God. Oh, you know what? You know what? If Ike Turner put in if he had some piercings, he would look like – you know what? That's actually terrible that you are correct, but you are correct. He does look like Ike Turner. You are correct.
Okay, and my other point is, man, I want you to – if you can you check and see how many quarterbacks has ended up coming into the league as a quarterback and changed to another position? Because I think that's maybe Justin Fields' thing that he needs to do with Chicago. Maybe turn into a running back or something.
Wait a minute. Well, the answer to your first question is, man, I can't look that up right now. And then
I got Julian Edelman, right, Chair?
I'm sorry,
Edelman, right?
Are you asking out of college someone who switched positions, or are you asking in the NFL? Because he played
In the NFL, they came to the NFL as a quarterback but switched to another position.
You're asking me how many?
If it's any. I think RG3 did it one time, didn't he?
No, he came out of Baylor as a QB, man. If you're asking me to you, I think you asked me how many, man. I don't know. What do you want to do? You want to turn Justin Fields into a running back?
I mean, he's not making it as a quarterback, and he's a good runner.
I think you'd be hard pressed the amount of money that this dude is making to say that he is going to accept. He'd actually be doing a disservice, not just to himself, but other QBs who are coming out of college, because the name of the game, whether you're Lamar Jackson, people still don't appreciate him as a quarterback, or whether you're Justin Fields, the idea that, oh my God, you got to run, and so you ain't going to be a quarterback no more, that's screwing things up. I don't think the union would care for that. He wouldn't care for that. His wallet wouldn't care for that. I don't think we'll hear Justin Fields go, all right, I can't throw. I'm just going to be a running back. Have you heard how the running backs feel? Nah, that's not going to happen. Don't look for that. It's been amazing hanging out here with you guys tonight. Hopefully one day we get a good Monday night football game. The Seattle Seahawks beat the Giants tonight. Smash them 24-3. Daniel Jones sacked 10 times. Offensive line not providing him any help. He's now 1-12 in primetime games. We'll be back with you tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. Thank you to super producer and host Dave Shepard. You, everybody, for listening. The JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio is a wrap. Don't move. Amy Lawrence, she's up next.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
I'm Eli Roth, and the upcoming second season of my podcast, A Ghost Ruined My Life from Travel, you'll hear real, horrifying accounts from actual victims who came face-to-face with a paranormal and survived.
It was the shape of a small human, and it was pure blackness, like nothing I've ever seen before in my life.
A ghost? You saw a ghost?
Yeah, I did.
Listen to A Ghost Ruined My Life with Eli Roth from Travel, wherever you get your podcasts, and prepare to be terrified.